the rebuilding process is already well underway in Iran.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's looking for an exit strategy right now, though. I don't know what's going on. All I know is somebody has had it with Arabic music.
That was a good transition, man.
Had it.
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. This is Josh Newby and hey. Jonathan Owens.
Yeah, filling in for Andrew McKay
on News Radio 92.3. That was good. That was a good exchange back and forth. Yeah, it's like we rehearsed that.
Yeah, we're going to get it down one day.
By 8:30, we'll get it down.
Right.
I'm happy to be joined now by Derek Scott. He is the chair of the Escambia Democratic Party, a local party organization that I have some familiarity with. Derek, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Appreciate you. We were talking just before we came on about Beulah and how sort of counterintuitively, perhaps, their Democrat contingency has really grown up there.
Yeah, within the last, I would say, 3 to 4 years, you've seen a large segment of Democrats that have increased, mainly due to the influx of employees from Navy Federal coming into the area.
Okay.
So they've, in fact, they created a whole new precinct, precinct number 115, that now exists north in that 9-mile area corridor next to Navy Federal. And it is highly Democratic. So for those who live out there who think you're the only person, you're not.
Right.
Surprisingly, a lot of your neighbors are.
I have found that to be true as well. As I've said many times this morning, I am a registered Democrat. And yeah, it's, you know, we sort of come out of the woodwork here. And then there are more people. I see a lot of people with yard signs that look like mine across the county area than I did even 10 or 15 years ago. So talk about the local party's role in not only championing the candidates, but also in organizing the voters to really mobilize.
Yeah, so our role really is to, as a Democratic Party, our role is really to recruit and encourage voters to get out the vote, right? So we don't... Well, we try our best to identify individuals who are looking to run for office, who have a desire to really to serve the people. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we walk them through that process of onboarding, essentially, from becoming everyday citizens to a candidate, you know, running for office. Our job really for the Democratic Party is really focused on getting voter turnout, right? So we focus a lot of our programming on education, if there are, you know, ballot initiatives or amendments, we do a lot of explanation around what those are and how they impact Floridians, particularly those of us in Escambia County. When we look at candidates, our goal, we knock doors for those individuals, making sure that people know who they are. So a lot of time, a lot of these folks are grassroots. They're not, you know, establishment candidates, right? So they're coming from limited funding sources. And so our role is really to spread the word, make sure that individuals know who they are, what their platforms are, and know when we're talking about August elections, know what the differences are between the candidates so they can make their most informed decision on who they would like to represent them going into November. But certainly in the local elections, particularly school board and mayoral, et cetera, et cetera, making sure that they have a clear cut understanding of who the candidates are so they make an informed choice when they enter the ballot box.
That's great. That's well said. I mean, I think going back to what Jonathan and I were discussing earlier, I think that sort of stands in stark contrast, at least locally, to what seems to be the Republican philosophy. We were talking about them sort of preempting their constituents with early endorsements. You know, you've had a lot of heirs apparent and a lot of candidates who seemingly have been anointed as the winner before the electorate has even had a shot at that. How do you guys go about candidate selection? Is probably too formal a word, but if someone wants to run as a Democrat, do you guys have any role in that outside of just helping them with the process?
No, we really don't. We don't do the, as you say, the anointing or pre-selecting candidates for the voters. We allow individuals who have expressed a desire and willingness to run to actually do that. You know, what we have found traditionally in Escambia County is that we don't have a lot of candidates that want to sit in primaries. You know, when we look at the races going forward, oftentimes most of our candidates advance to the November elections because you usually find just one. We usually, right. You know, I won't say that we discourage primaries because that's never the thing that we do, but we find oftentimes that most candidates with limited funding and limited resources don't want to engage in primary elections. So sure. You usually find if someone has already signed up or expressed an interest, let's say in House District 2 or whatever the case may be, it'll usually be that candidate. Now, we certainly, I encourage primaries. I think primaries are great. It encourages competition. You allow voters to determine and decide who they would like to see. We don't preemptive or try to give our voters an endorsement. We don't endorse in primary elections.
I wish that was the case in the Republican Party now. You've got endorsements before the primary even happens.
Yeah, we don't do that, particularly in the partisan races. We don't. Now, we do have the ability to endorse in nonpartisan races, particularly like when you see school board elections or the mayoral race. But as you see right now, there are several candidates in several races, like in school board district 3, mm-hmm. Where there are two Democrats who are running. And in the mayoral race, there are three Democrats that are currently running. And we've chosen not to make that endorsement. We'd allow folks to determine who they would like to see their representative be. So we don't engage in that at all.
The more candidates that I've seen, I've been involved in a couple of races in the past where you have a ton of candidates. The more candidates you have, that's exponential to the more people that you get involved and from an education standpoint. So I'm glad to see you've got multiple folks in the Democrat, in any party. NPA, Dem, Republican, just the more people that are engaged, the better at getting people focused on, their constitutional responsibility is to go vote.
Let's get your response for that in just a second. Let's go to traffic on the fives with PJ.
There is a vehicle crash and injuries, Pensacola Boulevard at West Burgess Road in Pensacola. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash and injuries north of Lee Street at Fairfield Drive. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
All right. What were you going to say, Derek, in response to that?
Yeah, no, I think I think you're absolutely right. The more candidates, they do turn out more voters. You have a lot more voter participation. Now, it's interesting because we're almost done with early voting, and I don't know that I've seen that quite yet in this particular race, particularly when we see the number of mayoral candidates in the race and things of that nature. What I would have expected in Escambia County is that we would have been a little bit more further along in terms of voter turnout in this August election cycle, being just shy of 11% now, 5 days into early voting, now entering the sixth day. It seems like we're a little bit further behind than what I would expect. When we compare it to 2022, the last midterm election cycle that we had, we're about 30%. So unless we're going to have a huge surge, which we hope that we would have a huge surge on Tuesday the 18th, it seems like we're pacing a little bit below that. And so,
what do you attribute that to?
I'm not sure, I'm curious to know. I feel like there's, ironically, it seems like there seems to be a little bit more voter apathy than what I would have expected, particularly the way the economy is going. Now, gas is high.
Right.
Your groceries are high. Everything is just all-time high, right? But it doesn't seem like people are beating down the polls. Now, that's not indicative. That may not be the case in November. We may see a huge tick because that's when a lot more of the races that people, I think, are watching or get the more of the exposure are in. But, what I explain to people in my conversations and educational forums and whatnot is that the one thing that I impress upon voters is that all politics are local.
Yeah.
Right? So, when we talk about people paying attention to the gubernatorial race or people paying attention to who's going to take the Senate race, right? The things that you want to focus on are the things that impact your daily lives the most. And those are the issues surrounding who you pick for a school board, who you pick for your mayoral, who's going to be your next mayor for the city of Pensacola.
Sidewalks don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican.
right. And so when we look at those things, those are the trying to impress upon people. I mean, don't get me wrong, being governor is certainly an important role, but the things that impact you the most are I find the races that people don't participate in at all. When we look at it, the primary election is probably the least turnout election that you have. You know, you'll see 30% from a voter turnout in a primary election, and then you'll spike in November to about 70 or so, which is an odd thing to do, but especially given the fact that the people who make influence your lives on a daily basis are in the August election, right? But, you know, what we're trying to get people to realize is that you have the opportunity to engage in the electoral process, which is both.
Right.
It's, you know, I think when we stop, the key is to stop thinking about August as a primary election. It sounds like you give people the option, oh, if I don't engage in August, I can pick it back up in November. You need to do that in both elections, August and November.
I think it's really important, especially here locally, from a school board standpoint. You have an appointed superintendent or an elected superintendent on the ballot in
right.
the primary,
right.
which historically, from a Democratic standpoint, because you don't have a lot of people in the primary races, there's going to be a lot of Democrats and MPAs that don't necessarily show up to vote at the primary, which you're going to have, you know, only Republicans that are showing up because those are the folks that are in the races that are voting on that particular ballot initiative.
Right.
And I don't think that should have been on a primary ticket, that initiative. It should have been in the general, that where you have the highest voter turnout.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It shouldn't have been, but that was done by design because for that very reason, they wanted the ballot initiative to pass because we know that typically voters who engage in August elections, as I call them, are typically older, white, and Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're going back to an elected, particularly speaking about the ballot referendum that you're mentioning, we decided this. Voters overwhelmingly decided this in 2018
right.
on the general election. And they decided, Escambia County voters adamantly said, we want to go to an appointed superintendent, which is best for the community. It's best for the students. You know, right now, you hear me speaking as the chair of the Democratic Party saying, keep politics out of education. It should absolutely be an appointed position. It absolutely should not be an elected position because you invite partisan politics when you do that. And when inviting partisan politics into education, the children suffer.
Right. I mean we've already had that. A turnover. Yeah. I mean, Mr. Smith that was here.
Tim Smith.
He's no longer here.
Right.
And now you have Keith Leonard who is, you know.
Right, which is the system working.
Right. And if Keith doesn't work out, it's up to the school board members to make that decision whether they want to keep him on staff or not.
So. Right. And going back to an elected, there's no accountability. There's
right.
No
and you only get to do it every 4 years. And you better have a whole lot of money. And the school board superintendent, when it's an elected, is the most powerful person from a real estate standpoint because
right.
of all the contracts associated with it. So does campaign donations from, you know, contractors get involved in that. We're going to head to a break here in just a second.
Yeah, you've been listening to Derek Scott, chair of the Escambia Democratic Party. Derek, thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you guys for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate you. This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3.
Hi, folks. This is your Congressman Jimmy Petronis. I'd like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, but right now the truth is I'm not feeling so nice. In fact, I am madder than a hornet, and here's why. Social media is harming our children. Kids are being manipulated by AI chatbots. Some have encouraged kids to harm themselves. Others have even committed suicide. Do you think fentanyl is dangerous? Some of these AI programs are what I call digital fentanyl. They're designed to get our kids hooked. I'm Jimmy Petronis, and I am fighting to change our laws so big tech will pay the price for what they're allowing our kids to see and do. Big tech must not be allowed to hunt our kids online and hook them to this digital fentanyl. We must stop these monsters from hurting our kids. And with your help, we will. I'd be honored to have your vote this primary day, August the 18th, paid for by Friends of Jimmy Petronis, Inc.
For me, every time I've ever had to buy a car, it's basically been an unpleasant experience. Except one. That one was when I bought from Frontier Motors. And I'll tell you why. Because we went there just trying to test drive a car. We weren't going to buy it. We knew what we needed. Well, we wanted to test drive it to make sure it's what we wanted. When we actually had to replace our Dodge Caravan, maybe about 6 months later, well, they had the Honda Odyssey. It was really hard to find at this particular time to drive one. They had the color we wanted. They had the trim level we wanted. We wound up negotiating a little bit on the price, and we bought it. When we weren't really looking. Why? Because they had the exact thing we wanted. It was a great car with like 13,000 miles, and it was a year old, came back from a lease in Orlando. They bought it at auction, and it was just easy. I didn't have to tell anybody my life story. I didn't have to get passed around from this person to that person. All the normal nonsense that you go through in buying cars, didn't have to deal with that. Great quality used cars for excellent prices, and they follow up with you after because they want to make sure you're happy. Like, they treat you like you want to be treated, whereas I know a lot of times when you deal with cars, it's icky, right? Well, don't do that. Go to Frontier. Check out the great selection, about 300 good quality cars and trucks on the lot at any given time, and find out why it's different. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
You don't need another money hack. You need a plan. Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. It's Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay this morning on News Radio 1620. And I want to take this a little privilege and give a shout out to my kids if they haven't jumped out of the car already at 7:25. Have a great day at school, kids.
Let me do that too. Noah, Ryan, Newby, I believe you're on the way to school right now if you're listening. I promised you that I would call you out on the radio last night. And so here I am saying that I love you very much. We both have kids, and I was talking before we came on, I should pay more attention to school board, and I don't, quite frankly. That's the one that sort of slips through the cracks for me. But we were talking about what role nepotism and name recognition play, if any, in school board elections.
Right. I do want to jump on a text from the previous segment. We were talking about the school board superintendent. Texting and it says, query for your opinion regarding vote about the school board superintendent. On one hand, I am one of thousands that have no children in the school system. I have no idea who is who for accountability. Then again, it could be appointed with insider trading. Either way, everyone get out and vote. And I agree. That's everybody should get out and well vote said. And pay attention. You know, I get phone calls, text messages. Hey, who you vote for? What do you think about this person? What do you think about that person? And my response typically to them is, do your own research.
Yeah.
Please get involved and pay attention and understand who the candidates are. Democrat, Republican, you know, no matter the party, pay attention to both parties and see who's running because it gives you a temperature of what your party is, whatever party you may be affiliated with, as well as what the other side of the aisle Looks like. So
I mean, no matter what system, every system has its downsides. Every system has its upsides. You know, I guess I care less about which one you pick, and I care more about having done your research.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because again, there are arguments to be made for any candidate, quite frankly, and any system of governance or of supervision. But yeah, be well educated. Don't just check the R or the D next to the name in the nonpartisan races. Don't just go with name recognition. You know, spend 20 minutes doing you know, top level research on these candidates and on these positions, and you'll be better educated than 95% of the people voting.
100%. 100%. We have another guest coming in. We've had your guest in the first part of the hour. We got another guest coming in 7:40. Dr. Clifford Humphrey. He's the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives, and there's some upcoming events that he wants to get us up to speed on about civic engagement and discourse and things such as that. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
So important, and I think that's something that you and I do really well. You know, coming from opposite sides of the aisle, but once we're in the same room talking, we realize we agree on a lot, and in fact, it's sort of a challenge to find something we disagree about, and that's why I'm so glad UWF is facilitating this.
The I think the biggest challenge in society today is people get buried into technology or buried into whatever screen is in front of them, unfortunately. Face to face is the best place for you know, civil discourse. It's easy to yell at somebody from behind a keyboard or, you know, bang away on some, you know, the screen when you agree or disagree with somebody.
That's right. We'll be right back. This is News Radio 92.3.
Gianna Gelosi. Two of the country's most notorious defendants returned to court this morning as separate legal showdowns put Luigi Mangione and Alec Murdaugh back in the spotlight. Mangione is accused of murdering United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson and is reportedly expected to plead guilty in his federal case.
His team wants to use a resolution in this federal case to attack his state case where he faces murder charges. They argue he is unconstitutionally being tried twice for the same crime in violation of double jeopardy. And here in New York State, there are stricter laws when a defendant has already been convicted federally for the same criminal conduct.
Fox's Chanley Painter in South Carolina. Alec Murdaugh fights to dismiss his murder charges as he insists he didn't kill his wife and son. America's listening to Fox News.
Seven:31 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 81 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a couple of minutes. A request for a $300,000 loan from Santa Rosa County to the Navarre Beach Fire Rescue District ended up being pulled from Thursday's meeting before commissioners could take that up yesterday. County Administrator Brad Baker said that decision came after further conversations with the county attorney's office and the fire chief.
I understand administration has some further discussion with the fire department and legal. Has anyone got any objection to removing that item from the agenda?
And the fire chief agreed to the item being pulled and did not attend the meeting. Santa Rosa County Commissioners approving a sub-recipient agreement with the City of Gulf Breeze worth just over $6 million on Thursday. The funding tied to a Deepwater Horizon settlement grant will support septic-to-sewer conversion work in the area. A Walton County murder suspect is now in custody after nearly 2 months of evading capture. 38-year-old Isabel Johnson had an active warrant in the death of 43-year-old Jason Christopher Coulthard, whose body was found buried in a shallow grave in Freeport back in June. Investigators say five people have now been arrested in connection with that case, accused of helping Johnson hide, get supplies, or mislead deputies about her whereabouts. No other details on her capture have been released. Well, the first sea turtle hatch of the season was recorded. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says people need to be aware.
Escambia Sea Turtle Patrol volunteers have recorded the first sea turtle hatch of the season with an 89% hatch success rate. The nest was laid on a dune ridge where it was protected from the flooding caused by Tropical Storm Bertha in July. When the eggs finally hatched, 123 baby turtles made their way into the Gulf. Beachgoers are asked to keep beaches dark at night, fill in those holes, flatten sandcastles, and remove chairs and other belongings before you leave the beach. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
An Escambia County woman has been indicted on a federal charge of transferring a firearm to a prohibited person. 31-year-old Roshane Harrison is accused of giving a pistol to Marcellus Likely McWilliams III, a convicted felon that pleaded guilty earlier this month to drug and firearm charges. Harrison appeared in federal court for an arraignment with a jury trial set for next month. It's 7:34. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We're going to be seeing a hot day today with a heat advisory in place, high near 96 degrees, 20% chance of a stray shower, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, 40% chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms, high near 95 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Keeping a 40% chance of rain on your Sunday with a high near 94 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 81 right now in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new MyECUA mobile app, available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash 9 Mile Road right near Klondike. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash and injuries, Pensacola Boulevard at West Burgess Road. And finally, a vehicle crash and injuries, North W Street at Fairfield. Roadways open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And it's 7:35, our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors will have a look at July retail sales figures later this morning. Dow Jones economists on average expect sales to grow by 0.1% month over month. Apple has trained a large language model specifically for the China market, a departure from the iPhone maker strategy of relying on third-party models to power AI features in the country. Reuters reports that the AI model was developed in partnership with Alibaba Group and trained with the Chinese tech giant's support. China's car industry is on a tear overseas, storming markets from Europe to Southeast Asia and heaping pressure on long-established automakers like Toyota Motor and Volkswagen. But it is a different story at home. China Passenger Car Association reports that car sales in China fell by a fifth to nearly 1.5 million vehicles in July from a year earlier. Futures are still mixed as the major indexes head for a winning week. Yesterday, the NASDAQ gained 214. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Experience, training, and commitment matter. I'm Linda Sanborn, and I'm running for Santa Rosa County School Board District 1. I dedicated 35 years to teaching in public schools and earned a master's degree in education. I know what it takes for students to succeed. With grandchildren in local schools, I'm committed to providing the best education for all students. I would appreciate your vote for Linda Sanborn.
Paid for and approved by Linda Sanborn, Santa Rosa School Board District 1.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you get into business, you do it for why? Because you like to do that thing. You want to install HVAC. You want to give medical or legal advice. You want to repair cars. You want to build roofs. You know, whatever the case may be. But then when you grow and you get employees, you have to deal with things that you don't particularly want to do. The red tape kind of stuff. Employee benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, doing payroll. I mean, none of that stuff is fun, at least not for you. You got into business to do what you like to do. Well, let somebody else who got into business to do the stuff you don't like to do it for you. That's where Torgerson Consulting comes in. You know, we've been using them for 5 years. They've actually been in business for 25 years in the Pensacola area, helping businesses just like yours take care of this stuff in a way that makes your employees as happy as possible. You know, finding the best plans, giving them choices, scouring the marketplace to find the best stuff. How do I know? Because we've been using them for 5 years here at News Radio and Cat Country. And I am a big thumbs up. My wife, who's an industrial engineer, very hard to please on detail-y type things. And she says, oh, no, they're great. I just recently listened to Reed Torgerson give a presentation to the Milton City Council about their benefits packages. Brilliant. Dry and boring, but brilliant. It was a fantastic analysis. So find out what they might be able to do for you. Might be better. Might not be. I don't know. But in either case, no obligation. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
When the news gets complicated, you need better questions.
It's just a fact that Tony Fauci, not the guy I'm talking with, but Tony Fauci, the person in people's mind, is now an impediment to public health because people won't listen to you.
You know, with all due respect, I just completely disagree with that premise because there are an awful lot of people who do listen, who do the right thing from a public health standpoint.
Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. This is Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby filling in for Andrew McKay on News Radio 1620. And I am excited about this next guest we have coming up. We have Dr. Clifford Humphrey from UWF. He is going to talk to us about a couple of events that are coming up that have been put on by UWF. Dr. Humphrey, so we have you on the line with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic, man. Tell us what you a little bit about you and what you've got coming up on the schedule with the events about civic engagement.
Sure. Yeah, happy to. I'm excited to let you guys know about it. So, as you said, my name is Clifford Humphrey, originally from Georgia. I lived here in Pensacola for 3 years, from 2009 to 2012, and I taught high school at Trinitas Christian School, and I taught at the Apple Market, or worked at the Apple Market, and got to really know the community through that way. And I fell in love with this place. Went away to graduate school, spent 6 years at Hillsdale College, where I got a PhD in American politics, and ended up being able to come back here just a year ago and found something called the Academy of American Civic Republicanism. And that's because when I lived here, I took a class, I just audited a class at UWF on the civic republicanism tradition. And that's just the tradition of self-government that goes all the way back to Greece and Rome, and something that our founders in America really understood really well when they were founding this country. And so I wanted to found a civic center here at UWF that was centered on trying to revive that tradition, because I find a lot of people, you mention republicanism and they kind of look at you funny and they don't know what you're talking about. In fact, when we launched this center, we had people who thought we were trying to set up something that was going to be a Republican Party institution of some kind. And I had to say, no, that's not what it's about. As everybody knows the story about when Benjamin Franklin left the Constitutional Convention and he was asked, what kind of government did you give us? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. That's the kind of thing that the Academy of American Civic Republicanism is trying to help revive and teach people about. So that's what the Academy is doing. And we do lots of things. We've got some courses that we're offering at the university. We've got speakers that we're bringing in. We host debates. We've just had a bunch of K-12 civics teachers that we came in that we were giving professional development to. So we're really trying to have a positive impact in this community and in this region. And as you said, there's a couple events that are coming up that I really want people to know about, because we've got funding from – we got a big grant from the Department of Education, and we were able to host these events. And so we want to be able to bless this community with the kinds of things that we're doing. So the one that's coming right up next weekend, August 21st and 22nd, is a symposium on what we're calling civic dynamic citizenship. And really, it's a look at how economic freedom and civic responsibility kind of reinforce each other and create a dynamism that has been sort of the secret sauce for America. And we're doing that by partnering with the Adam Smith Center for Economic Liberty at Florida International University. And so you bring together scholars from the Adam Smith Center who really focus on individual rights, property rights, free markets, and then you mix them together with what our focus is at the Academy of American Civic Republicanism, where we're talking not about rights so much as about duties, which those things always go together. So if you talk about what are our civic duties, what do we owe our community, what does the common good look like, and how do we kind of put these things together, you get just a real dynamic magic. And so in order to do that, we're bringing together economists, historians, entrepreneurs, people who can talk about these ideas kind of in the abstract, and then people who also have had experience bringing these ideas to ground and building projects based on the freedom that we have here. We've talked a lot about the 250th anniversary of America, as we should. It's a really important thing. But a lot of people have kind of forgotten that it's also the 250th anniversary of the publication of The Wealth of Nations that Adam Smith wrote, which was has been so influential. So for us, it's an opportunity to celebrate America, to talk about kind of the secret sauce that's made it work here, a place where economic prosperity and just civic freedom has flourished like nowhere else in the history of the world, but also a chance to reflect on The Wealth of Nations in particular, and to think about how, I mean, we're seeing the rise of socialism all over the country in popularity. Why socialists now, and who are really kind of, in a lot of ways, just warmed over communism, why that has become such an attractive thing for young people. And I think it's because we don't read The Wealth of Nations. We don't talk about it. We don't think about that tradition. And it's often been kind of lambasted or changed and mocked and not really properly understood. Adam Smith is sometimes thought of as just a self-interest, unbounded kind of capitalism. And if you read The Wealth of Nations,
I'm going to bump into you for just a second here, so yeah, we can please get traffic on the fives. We had an accident to pop up and let PJ tell us about it.
Yep, we just had a listener call in. We have a vehicle crash, Airport Boulevard, right near College Parkway. Use caution as you pass by that area. Also have a vehicle crash, 9 Mile Road, right near Klondike. No roadblock there. And finally, a vehicle crash and injuries, Pensacola Boulevard at Burgess Road. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Sorry about that. Dr. Humphreys, go ahead and jump back in there.
No worries. Yeah, I'll wrap it up here because I want to be able to talk about these things. But I was just going to say, we've got a scholar from the University of Georgia who's coming, and he's giving a talk about how, in order to properly understand The Wealth of Nations, but as Smith wrote, you have to understand another book he wrote earlier, which was called The Theory of Moral Sentiments, which is really exploring the connections that we all have and we feel with one another as a community. And if you put those together, you get a really good understanding of Adam Smith. But again, these ideas have just kind of been lost. And unless we kind of constantly revive them, we will lose touch with them. And so that's what the Academy exists to do. We've got this event coming up again, like I said, August 21 through 22. It's free. There's food. We've got a great keynote speaker. President Diaz is going to be speaking on the Friday night downtown at the Museum of Commerce, and then we've got a bunch of panelists lined up for the Saturday, and people can sign up for one or both of those days. Please go to our website, which is just uwf.edu/AACR, which stands for the Academy of American Civic Republicanism. You can just Google us too. We've also got an event coming up September 8th through 12th. This one's really interesting. So there was a really famous debate that took place in 1965 between James Baldwin and William F. Buckley on the question, has the American dream been built on the back of the Negro? And that was the resolution that of the debate that took place in Cambridge in England. in 1965. And there's an acting group out of New York City that has reimagined this debate, and they reproduced the exact debate on stage. And it's a fascinating opportunity for people to come and see this debate that took place so many decades ago. And Frank White has donated some money to help bring this event to Pensacola. He's been working with us, and we're going to be presenting this in 5 different performances, again, September 8th through 12th. We're going to be doing 2 performances at UWF, 2 performances at Pensacola State College, and 1 performance down at Old Christ Church. All that information is available at our website. People just go to uwf.edu/AACR. That's, again, Academy of American Civic Republicanism. Those are just 2 examples of the kinds of events that we're putting on. We want people to know about it because I think this is the kind of thing that people in this community would really appreciate and want to know more about. So I'm happy to answer questions or talk a little bit more about this particular symposium or the event we have coming up with the acting group that's called American Vicarious. And we're going to be putting stuff out there. I encourage people to follow us on social media and all that if they want to stay up to date on what we're doing. And last thing about that symposium coming up next weekend, we've got scholars coming from, I mentioned University of Georgia, but also the Hamilton School of Classical and Civic Education at US. We've got an economist coming from FSU and their Institute for Civics and Governance. We've got people coming from outside of the state as well, from Virginia, I mentioned Georgia already. And we've got a number of really interesting people coming. But I'm also excited about our local entrepreneur, Frank White, who's going to be speaking, as well as our keynote speaker, Bob Luddy, who's a very successful businessman out of Raleigh, North Carolina, who's also very well-versed in economics and who can just speak to both to the abstract ideas and to the bringing these ideas to ground, as he always says.
Fantastic, man! I'm excited about this, Josh. You're silent over there. We're giving Dr. Humphreys plenty of berth to talk about these events, and I'm excited to see that these events are offered multiple days. So there's no excuse if you are interested in civic engagement and also history. This is going to be fantastic to go back and watch this reenactment of this debate. I plan on taking my daughters to see this. Josh and I are both obviously on different sides of the aisle from a political standpoint, but Josh, you got any input, questions?
I mean, particularly the latter, the Baldwin Buckley. That's a transcript that I have read over the course of my life, and I mean, what a wonderful, spirited but good faith and charitable debate that was from 2 incredibly smart people and incredibly gifted orators. I did not know about this. I think like sort of seeing it live, you know, as a sort of resurrection of history is such a fascinating concept. I'm definitely going to try to attend. As Jonathan and I have said many times throughout the morning, you know, we disagree on many things politically. And yet, when we get to talking in the same room, we find so many areas of agreement. And
right.
And that's what I think the value is of UWF putting these symposiums on, is let's just have face-to-face discourse. That is how political progress and social improvement is made.
100%. Dr. Humphreys, I appreciate it. Thank you for the time this morning. If you've got anything else to add, you know, now's your shot. But we look forward to both of these events, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. I'll just say on that note, I guess I mentioned my PhD is from Hillsdale College, which is just kind of well-known as a conservative school. But we founded the Academy of American Civic Republicanism really not based on any kind of partisan difference or anything like that. We're trying to find common friendship and basis in our common American identity and in our common heritage as people who inherited a republic who were trying to keep it, as Ben Franklin said. So, you know, it doesn't matter where you fall on the partisan divide. We know that there's plenty we have in common. And if you love America and you want it's good, then welcome. We want you here and we want your voice. So whether that's at these events or at future events, we hope to see people there. And maybe I can come back on sometime and talk more in depth about any of these things. So thank you all so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Fantastic. Appreciate it. PJ, do we have some news?
Sure. Let's do traffic real quick. All right. Taking a look at the big board, 9 Mile Road at Rebel Road in Pensacola. Still dealing with that vehicle crash. Also have a vehicle crash 9 Mile at Klondike. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Did you know that the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest businesses in the entire country, is right here in Pensacola? Yeah, Pensacola Hardware was founded in 1851, before there was Levi's, before the Civil War. 175 years ago, they started. And you can go there anytime and see this kind of national and certainly statewide and local treasure. They've got all of the supplies, okay? There's not an issue about that. They know exactly what you're going to need, and that's why they have it in stock. You're not going to go in there and be like, hey, I need this. Give us a day. We'll get it in for you. No, they'll have it. Unless it's a specified order, something very particular that the architect or the engineer comes up with, and that's if you're a professional builder, you know? And they love working with you. I mean, they are your place, okay? And they love doing that kind of stuff. No problem. But generally speaking, if it's something that can be had that you might need, they're going to have it. And they'll know how to use it. And they'll know the building codes. And they probably know the inspectors. And they can make sure that you know how to use it safely, especially if you're using it for the very first time. Because they sell things that are kind of, you know, dangerous. And they want to make sure you not only get the solution you want, but you get it safely. Because they care about you as members of the community for all of this time. Stop by today for any reason at all. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Nicewanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Nicewanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
More cowbell. More cowbell. It's Jonathan Owens. And Josh Newby standing in for Andrew McKay with more cowbell.
Got a text in from Commissioner Wright in Santa Rosa County complimenting us, telling us we're doing great this morning. But he says he was also fortunate enough a couple weeks ago to have a dinner meeting at the original home of Adam Smith. Adam Smith, you know, not someone my side of the aisle typically loves to champion, but a brilliant mind, of course, and an incredible contributor to discourse around wealth and economies and capitalism. We were talking before we came on the break about traveling internationally and seeing how, you know, the touristy areas and the wealthy parts of Rome or Paris or Athens or whatever are sort of bordered by like a working class slum, and how people in this country, if you make if you make at least $50,000 a year in this country, you're in the top 5% of worldwide wealth. But to your excellent point, Jonathan, if you make $50,000, you are not rich enough to travel internationally and see how good you actually have it, right?
Right. Which I think, you know, everyone lives in, you know, their world, whatever that is. You know, the statistics, you hear statistics about, well, you know, most people get into accidents within a mile of their house. Right. Well, it's really dangerous.
You never leave in a mile of your house.
It's really dangerous.
You got to move.
Bad traffic. Yeah, I got to move to get out of this danger area around my house. But, you know, we live inside of a bubble. And if you can't afford to travel to see how good you have it, do you really understand
it? You don't know how good you have it.
And, yeah, and viewing it through a screen, you know, we have the whole world at our fingertips and technology, right? Either from behind a keyboard or on a screen, we can see everything, but it's not quite the same. Just like civil discourse, right?
That's right.
I mean, people can beat up on one another on social media and, you know, comment back and forth, and I'm better than you, and I make better choices, and I support good people more so than you do, and, you know, I'm in this special area because I put myself there. Mm-hmm. But then if you sit in a room with one another, you don't have that same type of conversation.
Right.
I always enjoy hosting stuff with you here because we get, to find out, hey, you know, we are on different sides of the aisle, but there are a lot of things that we do agree with.
So, amen. This is Josh Newby and Jonathan Owens filling in for Angie McKay on News Radio 92.3. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Luigi Mangione will soon be back in court in New York City. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. It's a federal courtroom this time where the accused killer is not charged with murder.
Luigi Mangione faces two federal stalking charges and could change his plea of not guilty to guilty during the hastily scheduled hearing. Those charges carry a potential life sentence. He's charged in connection with the killing of Brian Thompson, the chief executive of United Healthcare, who was shot outside a Midtown Manhattan hotel in December 2020.